this technique, fire hosing, can you kind of explain what that is?
The name itself is pretty descriptive. It's basically just throwing out as many little lies or mistruths as possible to confuse the debate, confuse the agenda, but just make certain issues just seem a bit off. So, mm-hmm. you know, people might not, in the case of vaccination, it might not be focusing on one argument, mercury, autism, you know, the sorts of mysteries that are out there, but throwing so many things out there that people just get a little bit iffy about the whole issue of vaccination itself.
And basically, it doesn't even have to be sort of established disinformation. It kind of just be whatever they come up with that morning.
Mm-hmm. And it's just really about creating sort of an emotional link to a certain topic that just makes people a little bit less trustful of it, or a little bit confused, or just a little bit wary.
It's sort of a lot easier to make up than it is to disprove.
Oh, completely. And, you know, we always talk about in media the 10-10 rules. You know, it takes 10 lines to dispel 10 words of mistruth or miscommunication. So throwing as many things out there as possible is a great way to, you know, particularly with an issue like vaccination, which is already quite confusing. You've got complex concepts like herd immunity. You've got complex biological concepts. It's not a half, 50-50 sort of scenario. You know, you need 95% of people to vaccinate to actually bring on herd immunity. It only takes 5% of the population to actually destroy that.
And it's also something that's like sort of inherently scary in a sense as well. They stick you with a needle full of disease cells.
It's new parents who are automatically cautious about everything. Yeah. It's got children. Yeah. It's got the images that you actually see on vaccination themselves, even those perpetrated by public health, are quite distressing when you think about a needle and a baby don't necessarily look very welcoming. So it's a perfect target for this kind of campaign. Mm-hmm.
And so fire hosing is not really a new technique. And I think in an article we were referring to, it was mentioned it's sort of been used a lot in political contexts. How is it different, being used differently now compared to the past, or is it just a different sort of context that we are seeing it in?
Oh, it's a different context. And I think it's probably not good to think of it as being completely just about vaccination, because vaccination is usually a proxy for deeper issues that people have with concerns about the state or the medical fraternity or bigger issues beyond vaccination. And vaccination is just sort of where
the focal point
is. Yep. So if you can throw out a few things about the government forcing you to vaccinate or mandate you to vaccinate, and they're trying to have some other further agenda or some kind of big pharma conspiracy about them making money, then that sort of lends into both the real concerns that people have, but also then has the impact on the issue like vaccination.
So sort of like wider distrust that we have in other organizations, just, as I said, like proxied through this vaccination issue and probably some others as well.
Yeah, completely. And one of the issues that makes it so successful is that these are emotional arguments that many people have. And frankly, public health doesn't deal well in emotional arguments. So if you...
Unless it's smoking packets.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the first things you'll see on an anti-vaccination site or in these kinds of campaigns is, just something saying, we understand that you have concerns and this is why you should have them. Public health needs to employ that kind of empathic approach as well, and probably doesn't do it as well as it should. And that's, in part, not the only reason why these campaigns are effective, but in part why they can be so successful.
Because it's offering sort of comfort where there isn't, like it's offering an understanding where they don't feel that otherwise. They feel kind of ignored and like having this thrust upon them.
And the reality is, a parent who doesn't vaccinate their child isn't trying to hurt the herd immunity or hurt their child. They're just trying to do the right thing for their child. And I think coming at it from that point is very useful. But, anti-vaccination groups themselves, and there are relatively few of them, but they do have an outsized impact. They're certainly quite harmful. But they're not the parents themselves. And so supporting the parents while arguing against these arguments is very, very important.
So, John, obviously with these people spreading disinformation, what are they getting out of this? What are they hoping to achieve? Because there are a lot of the cases, it seems, they are knowingly lying about things. They're not trying to say, I think vaccination's harmful and we should know the truth. They're obviously trying to get something out of it. What is that?
Yeah, well, I think it is a political issue. So political power is a big issue that does come up. There is a, anti-vaccination industrial complex, for want of a better word. There is a lot of money to be made in these sorts of, we talk about big pharma.
It's crazy to think about, right?
There are people who make very good livings out of this. And look, it's a very, very, very few people are actually truly anti-vaccination. Some people do truly actually
like
believe,
in good faith, in terms of like they truly believe that vaccination's a bad thing.
And some, it only takes a very, very small number of people to actually have a very outsized influence. You see that in politics. You see that in health issues such as this. You see it in every issue. And unfortunately, there are some people that are just getting, making a very good living by fomenting fear in health and vaccination, just as people make a very good living, encouraging fear campaigns in politics or other areas.
And I guess it feels in situations like this, we are kind of always wanting to hear the worst. Like, we're kind of conditioned to be like, we want to know that it's a scam or it's a trick or something like that. So we can kind of be like, oh, we're avoiding this. It's good.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's a really good point you make, because one of the things with vaccination is most people think of it as an active choice. You know, you're actively putting a needle into an infant, but really not vaccinating is not a passive choice, even though it's sometimes thrown out as that. You're actively choosing one risk profile over another. I think sort of reframing some of the discussion that we talk about vaccination in a positive sense can be really helpful as well, because if you look at things like, vaccination, it's a low-dose preventive activity. It triggers the body's own innate healing response to combat against disease. If people want to take a natural health approach, that fits in very well. If you look at it even from an individual chart, so a lot of people get confused by the herd immunity process because, frankly, parents are evolutionarily designed to be selfish when it comes to their children.
Of course, yeah.
But even on that individual level, it's safer for a child to be vaccinated on that individual level than not be vaccinated. So I think sometimes we focus so much on the big data, the big science, the herd immunity aspect, and just the overwhelming amount of evidence for vaccination, that we don't frame it in perhaps positive ways that would be more useful.
So I mean, on that point of how we can combat this sort of thing, you think that maybe a change in our approach to how we sell or market vaccination maybe could help?
Market vaccination, but also reach out to people who are confused. Like, it's natural.
So providing a support network and giving them that sort of like empathic connection you were talking about.
Oh, completely. Yeah. And we've heard from our studies, for example, parents who were, on the fence and wanting to vaccinate, but when they went to their GP or their nurse, their GP or nurse just told them, we're not going to talk about this. And so they went on the internet and they looked and they found an anti-vaccination group that said, oh, we understand that you've got questions. And of course, that made them feel more trusting of that particular source. So even just allowing those conversations to occur, but in a safe space, an empathic space, in a space that actually lets parents ask questions, but also lets them easily find non-judgmental ways of finding the truth without some public health academic or...
If you don't vaccinate, you're a bad parent, endangering your lives.
Or endangering other people. You're an idiot. I can't believe that you can't see the value of this kind of thing. Because that approach... Doesn't work in any other field.
It doesn't work ever.
Work with parents and vaccinations.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much, John, for joining us this morning. This is great.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
Nice to talk to you.